Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Sanele Gumede was joining us to talk about transforming leadership. It's a VOP lesson. Sanele, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, my elder. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And how are you doing?
I'm having a busy day, but we are thriving.
Busy is good. Busy is good. Yeah. Now, those of us who are joining us, you may have missed yesterday's, a conversation with Sanele, but he's back today, and we're today talking to him about transforming friendship. Have you ever felt a letter from a close friend unopened? Have you ever left it unopened? Probably not. Yet many of us leave the most important correspondence in the universe sitting in our bookshelves or coffee tables completely unread. I would say that in these days, the most important WhatsApp, you've not opened it. You've not even blue-ticked it. No, you just have not opened it. Man, today we want to look at radical truth. Christ doesn't just want to be your Lord. He wants to be your friend, your confidant. Think about that. The Bible is a personal letter from heaven designed to bring us into God's inner circle. Now, my elder, the lesson begins with a declaration from Christ taken from John 15:15. It says, "I have called you friends." Now, what is the implication of this seemingly simple statement? What does it truly mean to be a friend of Christ?
This is an interesting one, my elder, because I remember going through a stage in my life where, you know, this concept of God or Christ being a friend, you know, these moments where you don't kind of hear from God when you're looking for a specific answer. I remember saying to my wife, you know, I mentioned my best friend to my wife. So I actually trust him more than I trust God, because I kind of know that he's going to pull through when I need him to, because he always has. And I think what that taught me is we need to understand more about God and what this concept means. There are many illustrations, for instance, that are given in the Bible about how God, the type of relationship God wants to have with us. You know, there's a view of God being a father. There's a view of Jesus being a brother. There's a view of us being co-heirs with Jesus. There's a view of God presenting himself as a hen protecting her chicks. There's a view of God saying, if anyone touches us, it's you're touching his eye, for instance. And there's this view of God of him calling himself our friend. So in this particular instance, it shows the intimacy that God wants us to have. And we see this view, for instance, of God using our everyday life experiences to reveal to us in many shapes and forms the type of intimacy he wants to have with us. There's another view of God being the husband and us as his church being his bride. So this concept shows the reliability that God wants us to have, or to show us that he is reliable. When I think of a friend that always comes through to me, for me, it's an indication of the type of relationship God wants to have with us. And we need to look at life with spiritual eyes. Because sometimes what makes us despondent and distant from God is because we expect him, and that's maybe where the fundamental difference is we expect him to answer in the way that we want him to and at the time that we want him to. And what I've learned from the prophetess Ellen White is that there are things that we want and we think these are the right things for us, and God doesn't give them to us, because a best friend, for instance, will not give me drugs. You know, I may be sitting in a corner and thinking, you know, drugs is something that's going to just make my mind, you know, forget about my problems. But a real friend and a best friend who wants what's best for me, I may think that's what's best for me at that particular moment. But a true and a real friend will say, Sanele, that's not what's best for you. I have something that's better. So that's the type of relationship from this friendship analogy that Jesus wants to have with us.
Yeah. Now, as powerful a book as the Bible is, it makes no difference to us if we don't actually read it. Now, what does it do to us when we do read it? What are the intended benefits, as it were, of reading the Bible?
Yeah, you know, trying to think about an answer to this question, my mind just went on and on. Look, in John 15, verse 14, Jesus says, "You are my friends if you keep doing what I command you." Mm. And in John 14, verse 15, he says, if you really love me, you'll keep and obey my commandments."
Yeah.
So love, in essence, is a verb. So meaning it's an action word. And keeping commandments is also not inactivity. You know, someone may sit and say, "You know what, because I don't kill, because I don't." So coming back to this conversation that the commandments are not just a set of don'ts, but they're also a set of do's, for instance. And we then, if we just, it's not just about reading the Bible, the real impact of the Bible and it having benefits in our lives, it's us practicing the things that are written in the Bible. And that is where we get fulfillment.
Yep,
but then again, you can't practice what you don't know. So it's therefore important to read and practice. Mm. Remember, in primary school, we used to have show and tell. Mm. You know, so you needed to come with something and then demonstrate what you want people to know about. So you can't do show and tell. You can't write show and tell. You need to show it. So there needs to be practice for us to really derive the benefits. So the benefits of this book for me personally, if I can mention personal things, how it has benefited me. You know, they say in order to know where you're going, you need to know where you're coming from. I subscribe to that. So I need to know that I don't come from a monkey, but I was made in the image of God, for instance, you know.
Yeah, that's powerful.
That in me, you know, there are verses, you know, that talk about how precious we are. You know, the kingdom of God is in us. It then makes me, you know, there are some views, for instance, from a race perspective, you know, that I've read the Bible and I've actually discovered that I am not inferior, you know, in the race that I am, and no one is, for instance. So it helped to take out the noise to say, I'm made in the image of God. I've got innate power in me to create through my thinking, through my speaking, through my doing. I have this power. It has made me ambitious to know that there is nothing that I would like to do that I cannot do. I'm limitless. You know, it has brought me through times of sadness, through loss, through disappointment. It has given me encouragement. So through when I needed peace and serenity and comfort, I found these things also in the Bible. So as I mentioned, the list is just endless.
Now, please share with us the typical testimony given in the lesson about the Bible's impact on a reader's life. Would like to hear that.
Yeah, so this reader is prophetess Ellen White, and she says, "I needed help, and I found it in Jesus." She says, "Every want was supplied. The hunger of my soul was satisfied. The Bible is to me the revelation of Christ. I believe in Jesus because he is to me a divine savior. I believe the Bible because I found it to be the voice of God to my soul."
Mm. Beautiful stuff. Now, what would be your final encouragement then before we leave you and before we let you go for a listener who wants to actually experience this transforming, life-changing friendship?
I would say, I think the fundamental thing for me is going back to the point of reading and practicing. And in Malachi, the context, for instance, is on returning, you know, tithes and offering, where God says, "Try and test me in this." And there's a verse that speaks about taste and see that the Lord is good. And for me, it goes to the point of we must dedicate time. And what has worked for me is having a routine, for instance, having a set time in the morning for personal prayer and Bible study, and having family prayer in the evening, for instance. You know, I think for me, it starts with that. Number one. Number two, don't be afraid to ask questions. I've got a silly questions, for instance, for me is, you know, you read the Bible, the story of Jesus going up with the devil and following the devil when he was being tempted in Matthew chapter 4. I asked myself, why did Jesus follow the devil around? And he knew it was, you know, and I think for me, those are some of the things that then help us to discover new insights, because you're spending time reading the Bible and you're asking the what may be even seen as controversial questions. And for me, that is the study that probes you and makes you to want to desire to know more. And for me, one of the greatest things that you find in the Bible is prophecy. And it's one of the things that make me a believer that Christianity is really legitimate. It's a legitimate belief, because all the things that you read about in the Bible, that the Bible said would happen hundreds, if not thousands of years before they actually did. So my appeal to anyone would be dedicate time, read, and practice.
Dedicate time, read, and practice. Thank you so much, Sanele, for joining us. It's been a fantastic 2 days that we've spent with you. Truly, truly appreciate it. As always, man, have a fantastic one further.
It's only a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity, my elder.
Thank you so much, man. Goodbye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.